Okay, so of course, you're not going to hear that. Right, that's going to disappear. Very annoying, but we can't help it. Now, I just heard Stuart say there are four of you, but I only have three names. Is it three people?
Yes.
Oh, I guess fourth is me, huh?
That's right.
Yeah. All right, got that. So this is what we do. You're going to hear some music. I'm going to introduce the show. I'm going to introduce National Volunteer Month. I'm going to talk about a little bit of an experience I had that has to do with Wake Robin, only in the sense that it has to do with building communities in which you really want to live and that you're one of those. And I'm going to start with Nancy just to explain a little bit about what a resident power community is, okay, and how it got built. Then I will speak with Roger and Betty, and I will, as Stuart said, I'll actually say, Roger, can you tell me this? Or Betty, can, you know, Roger just said this. What do you think of that? You know, or whatever it is that I'm going to ask, okay?
Yep. Yes.
And the only hard part is going to be that we have four segments, and at the end of each is music, and then it cuts us off because it goes into a commercial, which we won't hear. So I have a clock here, and what I do is I try to stop whoever is talking right before the music so that they, even if they're in the middle of a sentence, I might say something like, this is so important, we have to continue it over our next segment, nobody go away, so don't feel bad if you get cut off, it's just that I have to do that, and I've got the clock here. All right? Now, before we go on, I just want to ask Roger, what kind of volunteering do you do?
I do a lot of volunteering in the sense of working at a lake on water quality. And then I also am in the Williston Town Band. So we provide music and concerts for the residents of the town. I'm also working on lake water quality for an organization that's statewide in addition to just one lake that I live on. In the summertime.
Right. Now, what did you do before? Were you involved with that at all as a career?
No, it wasn't. I was in information technology at IBM. The only volunteering I did while I worked was I was a founder of the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Vermont.
Ah, well, that's a big deal and one of my favorite charities.
All right,
so I'm going to ask Betty the same thing just to get your background. What's your volunteer work currently?
Currently, I'm doing a number of things in the community, and I do things at Wake Robin, but I have a long history of things in the community of Burlington. I currently do things for the hospital, the Stern Center for Language and Learning, and for the Visiting Nurses Association, and I'm on the program committee here at Wake Robin, and on the committee for the Employee Scholarship and Development program. So,
And before you retired, you were doing what?
Well, actually, I stopped working for pay when I got married, but I had been a broker, and I'd been involved in Boston and Buffalo, New York, and I'd been in a research outfit and high secret, and an orthodontics office in Buffalo.
Got it. Now, Nancy, as I say, I'm going to start with you. You'll talk a little bit about Wake Robin. But at one point, after they've spoken a bit, I'm going to certainly go back and say, you know, how does the community foster this level of volunteerism? And you don't have to tell me that now, but you certainly know the answer to that, okay?
Okay.
And we're going to talk about what people who are thinking of going into a community might look at, other than what the food's like and if the chandeliers are pretty. Okay?
Uh-huh. Yep.
All right. I think we're ready. Are you guys ready?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. Stuart, he's going to tell us to be quiet. You hear music, you'll hear my introduction, and we'll rock and roll. Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
Quiet time now. Go ahead.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
Yes, and hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is our next episode of Generation Bold, The Fountain of Truth. And it's The Fountain of Truth about aging. It's the only show nationally that really does look at the brighter side, the health side, the cognitive issues, the relationship issues, and today, a very special issue. What are you going to do with your time? You know, we are the volunteer force of America, people who are over the age of 50, 60, 70, and 80. And April happens to be National Volunteer Month. And we have with us today, for the entire hour, three extremely important people. Two folks who spend their time volunteering and giving back, and one who helps them do it. You know, all know that fairly recently I was over at the EFA Environment for Aging Conference in Las Vegas, and many thousands of people come, architects, gerontologists, people who operate nursing homes and long-term care communities, and they all talk about the same thing. The big buzzword is life purpose. The big buzzword is life engagement. But how do you take that from a word to something that's real in the lives of the people who are residing there? And Wake Robin is a very active, a very supportive community. It was actually created by people who had ideas of how they wanted to live in retirement. And I'm told it's filled with very interesting people, but I've had some discussions with two of them this morning, and I can attest to it and endorse it myself. But it is a life plan community. Now, if any of you know the Northeast, you know beautiful Lake Champlain. It's Wake Robin is in Shelburne, Vermont. And what we're going to do today is we're going to unpack this issue. We're going to unpack the idea of what is a life planned community? How do you volunteer? Is it just a buzzword? And we're going to have some real people who really are doing it. Betty Woods is with us. Roger Krause is with us. They're residents, but they're a great deal more. And Nancy Chacoin, who's the director of Resident Services, to show how a real community with real people enhance this life engagement. That's the big buzzword among professionals. And probably for you, the people who are listening to Generation Bold, how would you pick a community in your area or where your kids live or making your next move so that it's not just a pretty place, it's not just well-rated. I mean, this is a given, but it's something that's going to enhance your lives and allow you to enhance the lives of others. So we thought that Volunteer Month, April, was the perfect time to discuss this. The first thing I want to do is I want to send this over to Nancy Chacoin, who is the Director of Resident Services over at Wake Robin. So, Nancy, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, let's talk about Wake Robin for a minute. I mean, their claim to fame is that a group of local people actually decided to create a community where they would like to retire. How did that come about, and what does it mean to be resident-powered?
It came about, the residents who founded Wake Robin had family members at a continuing care community in the Philadelphia area, and there was no such community in Vermont that offered a full continuum of care. So driving home from visiting their father at one point, they said, you know, if we wanted to live in a place like this, we would have to leave Vermont. And they turned to each other and said, we don't want to leave Vermont, so let's make this community here. And that's when the first volunteer efforts began, and it took about 6 or 7 years to bring this community to fruition. It took an act of the state legislature to create this continuing care retirement community. And from that moment, at the same time that the first residents moved in, there was also the creation by prospective residents of a nonprofit Wake Robin Resident Association. So it's its own 501c3 organization. And from the beginning, this notion of creating community together has been just baked into the place.
So there are about 300 residents there, and before I turn to one of them in a minute, about 100 or a third are very active volunteers. And for my listeners, you'll hear how active. You're going to be really surprised. We have a short show. I don't even know that our two guests will be able to list everything they do in an hour. But how did that happen? One third is a very large statistic of volunteerism. Is that something that the community is in the culture of the community? Or do you actively go out and find ways for people to volunteer?
I would say the administration tries to keep up with all of the volunteer ideas that residents come up with.
Okay.
So it really, the activities and programs that take place here are driven by residents. And much of what takes place in terms of the community itself, like assistance with gardening, assistance with some of the manning of the front desk, for example, and the corner shop, there's a whole series of activities that really help the community to run, which we really couldn't do without residents. People come here from... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask you, people, are they all local and they know what's going on in the community, or are they coming from outside the community?
It's a combination. About a third of Wake Robin residents are from outside of the area, and about two-thirds come from the state of Vermont and principally the county that Shelburne is located in.
So let's take a look at what one of these residents is doing. I want to throw this over to Roger Krause. And first of all, we did talk a bit before the show about some of the volunteer work you do. So first, tell everybody what you're engaged with right now.
Okay, as far as outside Wake Robin is concerned, I'm a founder and was very active on the board of directors for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which grants wishes to children with life-threatening illnesses. I'm also a founder and member of the board of directors for the Lake Iroquois Association, which is focused on water quality for a small lake that's about 15 minutes from Wake Robin. And I do the same thing with another board for water quality for all the lakes in Vermont. So those are primarily the activities that I do outside. I'm also a member of the Williston Town Band, which is not so much volunteering as providing some great music for people that live in the area.
You know, my question to you is, and this is very personal. Everybody who knows my show knows I get very personal. My mom always wanted to volunteer, and she never found the right niche. Because the kinds of things that were being suggested to her were actually extremely sad. Working with people even older than herself, that were frail, hospice, children with big problems, nothing that really engaged her skills. Now, this seems to be exactly the opposite with you. Everything that you're doing is something in your skill set that you're very passionate about. How would you tell somebody to go about determining where they might be volunteering if they don't have suggestions that are really resonating with them?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's one thing I like about Wake Robin. There's so many people with so many different backgrounds and interests that if you just connect with those people and start networking, you'll find things that may be of interest to you and just pursue those interests in that fashion. For example, one of the things here, we have our own sugar house for making maple syrup. I mean, I've never touched that process.
Right.
But, of course, this is the time of year to do that, and it's just been great to get involved.
Yeah, it's funny. I happen to live in a rural area personally, and that's one of the things we do every year is go maple sugaring. It's not something that people would suspect of me, but it happens to be there. And so what you're really saying is you have to go to a place that has that environment. That's what I was asking Nancy about, how organic that is. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Betty Woods, and she has a whole other roster of what she volunteers with. And it's exhausting, but we're going to talk about, again, how she keeps motivated and motivates others. But before we leave our segment, Nancy, just in a few seconds, you know, one of the things about Wake Robin that is kind of known is the people are interesting. Do you think that all people are interesting and just giving them an interesting environment works? Or is there something that makes Wake Robin attractive to people who are already very engaged in life?
It's definitely an environment that attracts people who are engaged, but every person has a story here and has a different level of involvement. And to the extent that people find out each other's stories, it just sort of feeds on this community of participation.
So we're going to take a little bit of a break, but you know that my whole thing about successful aging is not about the bricks and mortar. It's about the experience, the life experience. We come back, we're going to talk to Betty Woods, who is bringing life experience to others and to herself at Wake Robin and what motivates her. And I'll get you guys to think a little bit beyond what's the food like, what's the medical care like, what's the chandelier like when you're looking at different environments for yourself in the future. Because I think where it's at is something that's extremely intangible. And that this idea of what is going to be the experience
you
of your life. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
But that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so you pretty much see how it's going, right?
Yes.
We're off the air now. So that's all comfortable for you guys?
Yes.
Yes.
Very good. So, Stuart, we could start again. Betty, I'm going to be starting with you now. Yeah. The next segment is 9 minutes, and again, we have to be quiet again. They reset it, and we'll be going back and forth. What I'm going to be asking you, Nancy, in this segment after I'm speaking with Betty is what's new, basically? What are you guys looking at to increase, improve, or change? And I'm going to ask Roger a very more personal question. Frankly, we're always talking to women because when you look statistically, it's the women who get involved. But you're not one of those. So I would like to get the guy's point of view, okay?
Okay.
So those are going to be some of the questions, and there'll be more that one thing leads to another. So we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello, hello, hello. I am so pumped up today. This is April, is National Volunteer Month, and I didn't miss it. I usually think about what month it is after it's all over, and it's such a crazy, crazy, crazy thing. But I actually made Volunteer Month in the right month. That's very exciting to me. I have to tell you that, everybody. But the fact is that not only are we celebrating it, not only do we want you to start thinking about volunteerism yourself, but we have some real live volunteers on our show today. We're speaking with the folks who are residents of Wake Robin. It's an active, supported, safe community. It's filled with interesting people, which I just proved, by the way. And it's located in Shelburne, Vermont, near beautiful Lake Champlain, if any of you know it. It's kind of a dream location, we have to admit it. And we have Nancy Chacon, who's the Director of Resident Services there, Roger Krause, and Betty Woods, who's a resident. So as promised, I am going to speak with Betty right now. I want to introduce you to her. And she is a volunteer, we'll say, on steroids. I had a few minutes to speak with her, and she does so many things. So, Betty, thanks for being with us, and give us just a little taste of some of the things that you're engaged with right now.
Right now, I work for the program committee for Wake Robin, and I'm on the committee for employment and scholarship development at Wake Robin, and I've served on committees like the Social Committee, the Nature Committee, the Sports Committee, and the Wake Robin Residents Association Board here. But I also serve in my own community a great number of things, and that's been pretty much where I've spent much of my career, shall we say, in the past. And I've worked for the hospital, the Performing Arts Center, and the Stern Center for Language and Learning, the Red Cross, you name it, and the United Way. So I've done a great deal in the community. So it's a wonderful thing to be able to live here and continue with what I did and have all the wonderful things that go on here at Wake Robin as well.
So when we were speaking with Roger, and I knew from before that he was with a major U.S. big company, he worked, and he's actually retired. You're a person who's lived a life of volunteering. So my question to you is this. For the people listening who did live a life of volunteering, they're volunteers already. It seems that very frequently when they go into a life-planned community, they go into independent living, or even just an over 55 community, there's a break in their volunteer activities. It's a real loss. How were you able to carry that over? Did you think about that and say to yourself, you know, I'm concerned I'm not going to have this kind of life engagement, or did you just take it for granted that you were going to continue?
Well, I knew I was going to continue because partly the organizations in town were going to keep me going, but also Wake Robin offered me a whole host of other opportunities, which I was very glad to take. And I have to say, Wake Robin, if you have an idea and it isn't here, and there are a number of other people that want to do the same thing, you can start it. Like we had a needle arts group, and people wanted to do that, and so we now have a needle arts committee. And also we have a woodworking committee that the men started that, and we can women can do their work down there and so forth. So it gives you an opportunity to explore things that maybe not have been here originally, but have become a part of Wake Robin, and opportunities for others that come here.
Yeah, you know, I want to bring this out again. There's a method to what I'm doing today, and that is people have certain criteria for where they're going to move. And they forget the most important one, which is, are they going to be happy? the people that are there, the kind of people that they really enjoy being with. I'm going to be speaking with Nancy in a minute, but Nancy, there's a place I visited in Woodland Hills, California, which is a center like yours, a life plan community for people in the motion picture industry. It's called Woodland Hills. And what Betty just said to me is what all those residents say to me over and over again, which is, if I have an idea, I could carry it out. These are very creative people. They were in the television, they were on radio, whatever it is, and they create things constantly, just like Betty described. So as a director of resident services, what's your role in this, and what should somebody looking at a community ask to be sure that this kind of environment is there?
People who are really engaged and land on my doorstep considering Wake Robin will frequently say, what's there to do, or can I volunteer? And we have a whole host of opportunities, but we also make sure right up front that when someone tells us that they're coming to check out Wake Robin, we get a little information about their interests so that we can match them up with someone for a meal or a tour who shares those interests, and so that they can see right up front how they might pursue those interests when they're here at Wake Robin. The other thing is that residents have a whole committee and way of welcoming new residents here. And so when they do that, they find out right off what someone is interested in, and the resident association meets with new residents. And we have about 47 different resident activities and committees, all run by residents. And so there's a system in place to plug people in to the things that interest them. So they can be as engaged as they would like to be right from the beginning.
So, you know, and a couple of things here. Me personally, about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, it's a while, I did take my mom around to a variety of communities, and never once did any of those things come up. And what you're telling me reminds me a lot more, frankly, of when I took my kids to different colleges, where they would have somebody take them around the college to court them. But they would always ask you, what are you involved with? And they would have a student trot it out who was involved in that exact thing. So there was already a companionship, an affinity, very quickly. And that's what I want to bring out to all of you listening. It really is not enough to look at the bricks and mortar. It's not even enough to talk to the activities directors, which are wonderful people and have a lot to do with the quality of your life. You also have to do what Nancy said. Now, Wake Robin, it's already in the fabric of what they do. But it isn't always in the fabric of every community you're going to visit. Talk to the residents. You know, Nancy, I don't know if you know an old-time journalist, Art Buchwald, but he had a great line. He said, an economist is like a man who knows everything about women but doesn't know any women. Well, you know, when you go look at these residences, you learn everything about the residents, except the residents. You don't know any of them. And that's something that if they don't let you speak to them, or you say, well, you know, it's a very private community, people don't want to talk, we can't do that, you know right away that if you're a person who likes companionship, this may not be the right place for you. So we're looking very much with experience. When we come back, I promise Roger, who thinks it's funny, it is not funny, Roger, that most of the fellows do not have the same level of engagement as women do in these communities, but you're not one of them. And Betty just mentioned that it was the guys who started the, I think she said, the woodworking committee. So I want to hear about that. I want to hear how that happens, because it's very, very important to the people that I serve. We'll be back.
That doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, we're going to go on to the next segment if you're all ready. Is that everything good? Everything working out where you are?
Everything's fine.
It seems great. Is it working out for you as well?
Perfect. Yeah, very, very good. This is what I want to get out of it. I want people to know that these kinds of things exist. And I think in our last segment, we won't have time on this one, I actually do want to, I mean, you, Nancy, must go to a lot of conferences. And I want to ask if you're seeing this kind of thing as a trend, or if it's still all about, you know, the food, and do we have a gym, and is everybody doing their exercise, which is all great, it's all part of it, but there's this intangible creativity, the arts, spiritual eldering, that's really, I think, should be more than buzzwords. So I'd like to just hear your take on it in terms of what you think is the next step for these kinds of communities. All right?
Okay.
But I'm going to start with Roger first. Stu, we're ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me not even a bit, because I am happy.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth, the Fountain of Truth about aging. And one of those truths is that eventually some people do not continue to age in place. And although we talk a lot about how to do that and how to stay in your own home, many people do want to go into a life plan community. Wake Robin is one of those. It's located in Shelburne, Vermont, on the banks of Lake Champlain, not too far from Lake Champlain. And it's a beautiful place. But what we're emphasizing is not the physicality of it, but something else altogether. And that is the opportunities for life engagement, which is a phrase that nobody even used when it came to aging a few years ago. But the fact is that with this extra 30 years or so that a lot of us have after retirement, we have an obligation, not just to sit on the porch or even just to play golf or even to do what we like. We have an obligation to our community, to each other, and to ourselves to give back. And we all know, and it's a platitude, but it's true, that you're happiest when you're doing that. So the happiness quotient goes up. But what we have here, we have two residents, Betty Woods and Roger Krause, of Wake Robin, who are themselves very active volunteers. And I said to Roger, and I'm going to throw it to him in a moment, that even my clients, in my other life, Roger, I'm a financial gerontologist, I have a lot of individual clients. Many are men living in planned communities, assisted livings, and they're very vibrant. But honestly, Roger, they play golf online. They play games online. They do things very isolated. When there's a big club or an activity and I go to visit them to do some business, the women are always in the room. You hardly see a guy. There's one or two men for every 10 women. And that's not just because the numbers in the residence. The engagement level seems different, but it isn't so for you. I mean, do you see that at Wake Robin? Is it just a blessed place? Or do they do something different that helps people engage, regardless of the gender?
I've only been here for less than a year, so I can't speak to all the activities that they have here. But I'll tell you from personal experience, I did not get involved in volunteering until 1989, which is when I helped found Make-A-Wish of Vermont. And it's true that, for example, there, most of the people that were on the board were women. I was one of, I think, three that sat on the board that was male. And I have found that in many of the activities that I've been involved in over the years, Wolfentown Band being one exception, and that's just because of who has the skill to play whatever instrument. But I have found with respect to the Sugar House, where I've been doing some volunteering here, it's different. You've got a lot of heavy work. You've got a lot of keeping the fire going and pouring off syrup and so forth, and the men seem to really like that. There's still a lot of women that are involved, but there's a lot of heavy work that the men can do, so they're very involved in that one. But as far as the other activities are concerned, I really can't speak to that, just that I have the interest in helping others and being involved in things like learning new things like the Sugar House, the things that I would want to do.
You know, it's been interesting, and Nancy maybe would attest to this if she sees it at some of the conferences she goes to. I've been seeing communities being purpose-built. Over in the far west, Montana, in Washington State, they actually have planned communities for people who love horses and ride horses. There are others that are boating communities, and they seem to attract more male residents, because they are going out specifically for the kinds of activities that that people love to do and are used to doing. That doesn't seem to be the case with Wake Robin. You found the place that the activities that you thought were best and most important for you. Do you think that the idea that you can come up with an idea and make it happen is, because when you say about your volunteering, Roger, you keep saying, I found it. Well, founders are people who do things from scratch. So do you think the idea that you can run with an idea is appealing to a lot of the guys who are working in companies where they really had to make things happen?
That could be. I mean, it certainly was of interest to me. I can't speak to all of men as to what they want to do or what they want to found something. I think it's more in finding the things that are of interest to you, whether it's something new, you know, you're filling a void, or it's something that already exists that interests you.
So, Nancy, going to you, let's say somebody does come with an idea. How does you as Director of Resident Services over at Wake Robin support them? And the reason I'm asking this question is not just to ask it on the air, but so that people who are looking at communities could also ask the question in the right way and get a legitimate answer that's provable. So how do you support somebody who says, you know what, I think we should have maple sugaring here, or whatever they came up with?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, there's a Wake Robin Residents Association, and this association is kind of the umbrella over all of the activities and resident-run programs that take place here. And the Wake Robin Residents Association has a very close integrated relationship with the administration here. So, for example, a few years ago, there were some residents who wanted to keep bees because they had been beekeepers in their previous life. So they went to the CEO and said, you know, we would really like to keep bees. And they had the backing of the Residents Association. So the question I think that we ask ourselves is, how can we say yes? And so they had a long conversation about where to put the hives, because some people are allergic to bees, and how the hives would actually work. And so we now have five beehives here, and some other residents have donated the creation of a huge wildflower field so that the bees can be happy in their hives. So it's the kind of thing where I think our approach is, let's see what residents come up with. As you say, they've been in charge of a lot of things in their lives, and there's a lot of talent here. So our first instinct is really, how can we say yes?
So now, by the way, I love the metaphor. We all want to be happy in our hives, and not all the time is there a big wildflower garden for us that somebody else creates. So sometimes you have to create your own wildflower garden. And one of the questions that I hope and I urge all the listeners to ask, or on behalf of their parents if they're helping them find a new place, is what can I do here? You said the words, you know, what can I do here? What do people do? Because generally you walk in and the first thing you're greeted with are people sitting in chairs. And I have a suspicion that if I went to Wake Robin, that's not what I would find. Going back, Nancy, in terms of the trends, do you see this catching on? I mean, obviously, I'm a big cheerleader for passionate aging, and you're in the midst of it. So sometimes when people are in the midst of it like you, you don't think it's so special because it's with you every day. But in your conferences and in the other professionals you speak to, is this catching on, or is it still all about the food and the bricks and mortar?
I think it's catching on. There's something about the incoming generation of people that are quite used to kind of having trends, creating trends, and being in charge of their lives, and not so willing to, you know, sit back and wait for things to be happening, and not being so assertive about it. I would say this is a pretty assertive generation of baby boomers coming on, and they're used to making things happen, and my colleagues say the same.
Now, you are a CCRC. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And people go to higher levels of care?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So they can start, they can start independent and go into higher levels of care. So, Nancy, when we come back, I want to talk about those transitions. How do you take, you're right, the baby boomers are a very, very special generation. We're used to making things happen. We're still a me generation. And also, it isn't a small thing. We are the most educated generation. So far, our kids will be more so, but as elders, we're the most educated generation yet. So we know how to do stuff, and we've done things. But like everybody else, part of successful aging is realism. And if we do have to go into a different level of care, and it's not, let's say, memory care, how do we make that transition, and how does Wake Robin work with these very active people who may have some physical decline, but still want to make contributions to life? I'm more and more committed to having communities create ways that their residents can contribute and not just be contributed to, because I sincerely believe that has to do with our happiness. This is National Volunteer Month, Nancy, but last month was National Happiness Month. I don't know if you know it. And volunteering is part of that. So we'll be right back. We're going to find out about the continuum of life here on Generation Gold. Don't go anywhere.
I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Okay, so this is, I can't believe it, but it's our last segment. And it's only 8 minutes, so it's a little shorter than the others, okay? And I want to get a chance to say a couple of words to each of you. So we'll go quickly. What I want to speak to Nancy about is what I just said, which is, you know, how do you help people make the transition and still stay engaged? And for Betty, you have a life of volunteerism. There's no question about that. How do you see yourself continuing that? And for Roger, the same. What advice would you give to somebody who's just making these decisions where to go for the first time, right? Now, Roger, we're off the air. When you went into the community, are you single? Are you by yourself?
No, I'm married.
Okay, so when you made the decision, you made it as a couple, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and in terms of that decision-making, if you were doing it on your own, would you have made any different decision?
I don't think so. We have other friends who are already here. We're close by. We lived about 15 miles from here. So we were very familiar with the community and interested in being a part of it.
Yeah. So I think that that's an important point to make, that there's when there's a high level of comfort, you know it, right? I mean, it's almost instinctive.
Right.
And so
that's
something that I think needs to be said, because people don't trust themselves.
Okay.
And it sounds to me like you and your wife really trusted yourself in making this decision.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are ready to go. Okay.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, 'cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, da, da.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and I guess I say it every week, I cannot believe that we're at our last segment here. Time just runs away. So without further ado, let me reintroduce you to Nancy Chacon, who is the Director of Resident Services at Wake Robin, a very active, very supportive community. You're getting an earful as to how it could work. And I want you to know that such places exist, because I'll tell you, they do exist near you or your kids or wherever you're planning to move. But you won't find them if you don't ask the right questions. So one of those questions, Nancy, is if I do need a higher level of care, and, of course, Wake Robin has a variety of levels of care, and I'm moving from independent to assistance or whatever, and I have all my cognitive faculties, I want to continue my life. What provisions are made? What should people look for to make sure they can do something like that?
At Wake Robin, there are people who volunteer for all sorts of committees and activities right here in the community. And people are encouraged to participate as long as they can. So it doesn't really matter where you live in the community. If you're able to get to a committee meeting and make some decisions with the rest of the committee, you'll just stay involved. When people move to what we call our Linden Health Center, where we have residential care, memory care, and skilled nursing, it's right here in the community, and they're with people that they've been living with since they moved in. And so there's really a great effort to keep that seamless connection. So as long as someone wants to be involved, they can just continue their lives. They're a little closer to the action, and we hope that that makes it possible for people to stay as independent and involved as they want.
Yeah, so bottom line is something that we try to well, maybe proselytize is the word, and that is be realistic. Take a look and see what would really happen in the event that you had to make a move, and make sure that, as Nancy says, it's as seamless as possible. There are things to do on site. And sometimes that's also where the built environment comes in. We do a lot of consulting in my business to residences, and the built environment can sometimes help with mobility and the ability to get to those meetings, the ability to get to those conferences. So look realistically at what you may need. So I want to actually go over to Betty Woods now, who's a resident over at Wake Robin, and we heard about her real life as a volunteer. And I'm assuming it's something you'd never want to give up. By the way, do you know how many hours a week you volunteer, Betty, you spend in volunteer activities?
It's hard for me to say because sometimes it's a great deal and other weeks it's not quite so much. It's depending on when meetings are or when functions are to raise money or whatever. So my schedule is very fluid in that sense.
Have you given
but
thought to...
I'm sure that's at least two or three things a week on average probably.
So have you given some thought about continuing no matter what? Is that something that you
yes,
think about,
I have,
or you just soldier on? Okay, tell
well,
us about
no,
it.
Well, no, I purposely have continued to do things as long as I have something to offer to something and they want me, so I'm very pleased with that. And a couple of things that, listening to you talk, there's something that happens here, we have a great many programs that are educational here. We live in a vibrant community, and these people are very generous to come. It could be music, it can be art, it can be the history of the area, so that people that are living here can go to a meeting and have interesting educational things that are happening right here for them. They don't have to go away. It's a wonderful thing that what happens right at our doorstep, which is very good.
It's so important, and it's also something that people don't look at. You see what my concern is. And let's go over to Roger now to end our show. Speaking with Roger Krause, who's another resident. When you selected Wake Robin, you selected it as a couple because you were in the community, and there seemed to have been something, you know, you just knew. Can you talk a bit about people trusting their own instincts? Because I don't think they do. I think they'll ask anybody but themselves as to where is a good place to be.
Well, first of all, we have several friends. Being that we're from the area, we have several friends that are already here. So we got a lot of words from them as to how great this facility was and we really should think about it at some point in time as being part of it. And so the time was right, and we did that last year, and we are so happy that we're here. And we made our decision. We've been on a wait list for quite a while, but we made the decision to actually follow through and move really quickly. We were in a house in January last year, and we were here in May. So, I mean, there was a lot of work to do to get here. But I think just the fact that we had friends already here really made us feel comfortable with what the environment was and getting involved in what they had for services here.
Yeah. So I think that the bottom line in everything we've been discussing is the importance of people. Again, I come from a world, as I have been mentioning since January, where the Environments for Aging group, and there's about 6,000 people in that group, all over the country building, renovating, determining what the operation should be of everything from active adult communities to very serious medical model nursing homes and everything in between. And the word that you don't hear is who's there. It's what's there. But very rarely, who's there. And I think that's the distinguishing factor over at Wake Robin, and it does seem to build on itself. It seems that, Nancy, once you put something in place, they will come like the old, you know, build it and they will come kind of thing. So it gets more and more interesting. You know, so Nancy, in the last minute that we have, what's next for Wake Robin? What's new on your agenda or your hope for 2018, let's say?
We're planning an expansion and planning to break ground in the next couple of months, so welcoming about 50 new residents to the community at the end of next year. And this community is extremely welcoming, the residents particularly. So I think there's just a lot of hopes and dreams that we don't even know what they are yet, because we don't know who the people are who are going to be living here. But it's definitely a place where we encourage people to come again before they move in so they can get to know the community and see that it's a good fit. And we're excited for this next phase.
Sounds beautiful. And, of course, we're at the end of our show, but you've got a lot of information now. Who's there? Talk to the people. Let them be your mentors. And, you know, every single week I say the same thing, but I really mean it this time. Get out there, kids, and make it happen, because it's your world, and you're the one who really can create it. Talk again next week. Okay, we did it. What do you think of that?
Great.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Can I say something
I think
more?
You're wonderful. You have great energy.
Thank you.
Can I say something more?
Sure.
One thing that I think didn't come out is we have wonderful employees all across the line, from healthcare to whatever, and most of them are willing to take suggestions and maybe how they can do something better or please us even more. And I think that adds to the quality of life that is here.
Yeah, no, it's an important point. And one of the things that, as I say, people, when they look, they look. They don't really get into the bones of who's there. And you're right, it's not just the residents or the directors. It's also the employees. Very, very important. So what we're going to do is we're going to have this on our website. Of course, it's heard live this Sunday, and anybody could hear it from anywhere in the world, actually, if you have a free app on your phone called BizTalk. But then Wednesday coming up, it gets archived, and it goes on the website, and it goes on the homepage, the front page. So, Nancy, if there's anything you want to send, like a photo of the place, let's say, whatever, a logo, it doesn't matter, whatever you like, we can put that on the front page. Just get it to us before Wednesday. And for Betty or Roger or anything, if you want to send, we have a photo gallery. We can have photos of people maple sugaring. If you want to write something about Wake Robin, we have a blog. So you send it. This show belongs to our listeners and our guests. So you think about it, and we'll be very happy to post these things for you. Okay?
Excellent. Yeah, thank you.
And where should we send this?
Everything is emailed. I know you've been emailing to Stuart, right?
No, thank you.
Oh, to me. All right, you've been emailing to me, and he takes care of that. Use the same email.
Okay.
Okay?
Great.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Right. Bye.
Bye.